Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With Shane Swagger.
The Incredible Hockenson. Smash.
Smash you!
And Michael Finero.
You're a closet Philly fan.
Dude, I hear Fly Eagle Fly and it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Because you're like, why am I singing this?
Stop!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
Dude, seriously, just change your Twitter handle. Minshew lover or can't get enough Minshew.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, man.
Hey, now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we roll. Hey, now we roll.
Welcome back. My voice broke like as soon as we started talking again. Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 105. Finero, you know, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I know you do as well. But you know, one thing I've noticed about me is at the beginning of the show, I've never really, like, been one to be like, I'm Swag, or I'm Shane Swagger, or... I just assume that people eventually know who we are.
Sure.
But with that said, I changed my Twitter handle.
Nice!
And I went back to Swagzilla OG. So I've noticed a couple times I've been tagged today and it's kind of throwing it off a little bit. I think it'll take my handle time to get used to it as well, but I'm gonna find you all. You don't even have to come looking for me. But
that's like a fantasy rewind to Swagzilla.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of pushed me a little bit, and then I think it was my daughter that had the last word in it, and it was almost by mistake. So I'm back to Swagzilla, and it felt good to switch it back to the old days. With that said, like, Jason, your time is up. I've given you way more time than I thought I would to do whatever you needed to do. We have Jason Waltner here, the host of Capology 101. Jason, thanks a ton for coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about like some contract situations and some players that you should pay attention to a little bit now before everybody else is. We're going to get ahead of that curve, and that's what Capology does. And I'll let Jason tell you a little bit more, but I'm excited about what we're going to attempt to do tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's going to be tons of fun. Got some good information here, some good tidbits that I was a little shocked when I was looking some things up. You know, looking through some tea leaves, and yeah, I got a few good ones here for you.
Yeah, so anybody that didn't catch on or doesn't listen, like, Capology is, we're going to be looking at some cap situations over the next year or two. Is that fair, Jason?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to look over the cap situation to see who's under contract still, see if there's anyone that is maybe in the way of the rookie that could be cut and how. Like, there's one guy we will mention tonight.
So why not bring on a cap expert?
Yeah.
Seriously, Swag, like, I remember when Capology first came on, I made some pretty savvy moves because there was a lot of people that are just looking at, like, consensus and what's going on in the league, and they're not looking at what players are about to leave and those vacancies and who can fill them. And rookies typically are especially now more than ever thrown into those and being tested into the fire pretty early on. So by doing this like fast forward, almost back to the future kind of episode, we had the opportunity to maybe look at this 2020 class, not for this year, not from a redraft or even a dynasty perspective, but maybe just say, okay, well, let's throw this year away. What does Jalen Reagor look like next year? What does Van Jefferson look like next year? What does Michael Pittman look like next year? These guys next year could be league winners. And we talked about league winners with JJ last week. I think this is what you kind of need to look for, is if you have high hopes with your 2020 guys right now this year, I mean, you're really throwing darts. You're going to hope for a McLaurin. You're going to hope for an AJ Brown. Here is something where if we just fast forward to next year right now, we could see some value in second, third, or even fourth rounds of rookie drafts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because also what it takes consideration is not only their contract, but the, I guess you could say, contract environment of those around them. So This isn't to say that all these guys we're going to mention tonight are going to be, you know, the next, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or whatever, you know, McCaffrey or anything like that. But
so let me slow you down really quick. Let's stay there for a second.
Sure.
And I'll try to remember what you were about to say. But as well as being our cap guy tonight, you are our Dallas guy.
Yes, I am.
So do you have any, like, anything that you're feeling out on those contract situations with Dak not signing, CeeDee Lamb, the Amari Cooper contract? How have you felt any of those vibes out? Like, are you buying Amari Cooper?
Yeah, well, my favorite thing about Amari Cooper is actually the structure of the contract. They can get out of it in 2 years and save a pretty substantial amount of money. So
I don't know if that's my favorite thing when you say it like that. Like, I kind of liked Amari Cooper last year.
No, I do. I do like Amari Cooper, but I'm just saying, if in the event of, let's say, you know, you don't sign Dak and things don't go the way you want them to and you blow it up, like technically, like in theory, Zeke and Cooper could be gone in the same year. And wow. The Cowboys would save like $25 million or something like that.
Man.
But I don't think they'll do that. You know what I mean? I think they like those players and everything.
Well, to go back to Swags, Jason, just for a second, I mean, what is the hot topic is Dak. What are you thinking about Dak right now?
Don't get me started on Dak.
Yeah, I would love to know your take on Dak right now.
Andy Dalton? Is that your answer next year?
So where do you want to start?
Here's where I'll start. Does Dak Prescott completely Kirk Cousin you guys next year and go sign with another team?
Well, next year, if he Kirk Cousin does, that means he would get another franchise tag.
They can tag him next year, can't they?
Yeah, Cousin got tagged twice.
And which is rare. So he would get paid. He would get paid under that franchise tag.
See, okay. If the Cowboys do go there, I would just get upset from the standpoint of I would have rather used that money towards a guarantee. So let's say, you know, over the next two seasons, if he got franchise tag again, it'd be like $70 million. Okay, well, why didn't you just take that? If you knew you were at least going to franchise tag him twice, take that $70 million, put it towards guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. You know, spread that over 5 years or 4 years instead of two.
What's the franchise tag? What would that be?
Over the next 2 years, it'd be $70 million totals. Right now, it's like $33 million, and then next year, or I think it's like $31 million, and then next year it'd be like $35 million because it jumps up a certain amount of percentage and stuff. So
do you think they sign a long term deal?
I don't know, man, but I don't know for the money they're talking about. I mean, I personally don't think Dak Prescott is worth what he wants. They've offered him over $100 million guaranteed already and $33 million annually.
Wow.
It's already been on the table, and he turned it down.
Yeah, so, I mean, he probably doesn't want to play there?
I don't know. I mean, he just wants to get paid, I guess. And, I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, for the way you see everyone else get paid in Dallas, you get it by holding out, or...
Yeah.
That's how Zeke got paid. That's how Lawrence got paid. That's how Dez got paid.
So maybe buy low on Dalton.
Okay, so here's my thing when it comes to that. So the Cowboys, we went 8-8. With Dak Prescott having a career year, like, and all the analytics, blah, 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 right? The end result, Cowboys were 8-8 under this fabulous season.
Statistically fabulous.
Yeah, statistically fabulous season. Because that's, again, everyone has to realize it's a team sport. And then don't talk to me about wins. I don't want to hear about, like, garbage because it's team sport. And then if you want to sit there and tell me wins are good, then that means those were just as good for Jason Garrett as well, which everyone wanted out the door. So. Don't talk to me about wins when people talk about, oh, he won 40 games. I don't want to hear it. But I don't know, man. And then
so let's say you're winning again, because I don't think you can call 8-8 really winning, throwing shade. But the reason, like, I've kind of said this before, like, the reason Dak threw for 5,000 yards was because he was playing from behind and they're airing it out. So if you get back in the game, you have to think that that helps Zeke out.
Well, so I don't know where the stat came. I don't know where they got the stat from, but I mean, I was listening to Dallas radio, and those guys are usually they're usually pretty good on their stats. They don't just pull stuff out. And they said like a lot of Dak's stats came during like garbage time, either when Cowboys
either
when the game was pretty much out of hand for the Cowboys already, or when they were blowing someone out.
Yeah, trust me, man. I'm used to it. I'm a Lions fan, so I know where those points come from.
Right. So my whole thing with Dak is he's not a top. Okay. I think everyone can agree he's not top three.
Oh, absolutely not.
Not for me. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay,
I'm in.
But that's how quarterbacks. That's how the market goes, though, right? Like, so if you're due for a contract, we hear this all the time. It's like, oh, this person isn't worth that. This person isn't worth that. But when their contract comes up, you either have to move on from a Dak Prescott and start the F over, or you need to pay him market value. Like sometimes market value makes him the third highest paid quarterback, but he's maybe in your mind only the 8th or 9th or 10th, and you still got to pony up, because like if you're going to start over with a franchise, that's a disaster. Dak has been good.
But could Dalton be just as good? I mean, he didn't even have a
full. Thing. Can he be? Like, okay, let's not forget. Dalton played good with the Bengals. He didn't just forget how to play football.
Yeah, he had 3,500 yards and didn't even play the entire season.
Dude, has he ever had Cooper, Gallup, Lamb, Zeke, that offensive line?
Yeah, I hear you, dude.
Like, I'm interested to see. Honestly, I was interested to see the Cowboys try to go get Teddy Bridgewater.
And Dalton won't require that kind of money.
No, he will not.
Not even close.
So two things when it comes to Dak real quick. One thing is, if you want that kind of money, then you should not need to have a top paid wide receiver. You should not need to have a top offensive line. You should not need to have a top running back. You can have maybe one or the other. And when everyone argues about, you know, complains about Rodgers, how they never gave him a first round pick and stuff like that, it's because they couldn't.
And now he's got McVay, though. That could be nice, too. Dalton and McVay might. Not McVay, brain farting here. You guys know who I'm talking about.
What the heck, McCarthy?
Yeah, McCarthy.
Yeah.
McCarthy, but, McVay, I mean, they're all mixed.
No, but I mean, you have McCarthy. I mean, and he's going to want to have a pass-first offense, and I think that Dalton might be closer to an Aaron Rodgers than Dak is, just the playing style in itself, and I think Dalton could work there.
I'm interested to see it. I'll tell you that right now. I'm very interested to see it.
You might see it.
We might see it. I'm actually maybe hoping we do.
So I have to be honest. I feel like we came to no conclusion on this Dallas situation. I don't know if you've got your heart too invested in it.
What do you mean? Well, first of all, I'm saying right now, I love Zeke. I don't care what anyone says. Zeke is the effing man.
Okay, he's only 24.
He's only 24. He's worth every single penny of that contract, because everyone just looks at staff and stats and everything like that. You know how many times I see that man come down on a defensive lineman that comes and sets some wide receiver sprint, you know, there's no stats for that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so, and we all know Zeke's one of the best in the game when it comes to a blitz pickup. So worth every penny. And if you actually looked at all the games against all the top teams, there was only one person that balled out every single time. It was Ezekiel Elliott.
Tony Pollard, that you had those games.
Tony Pollard. Well, he'll end up being a free agent because, I mean, we'll still have Zeke. So,
yeah, well, I mean, it shouldn't cost too much to keep right. Tony around, though, right?
I think we've been talking about Dallas a lot.
We have.
Okay, we digress. We digress.
We are going to fly over to dynastyowner.com really quick. A word from our sponsor, and we will be right back.
Talked about Dallas so much. We need
Jason. I'm going to give you about another minute if you need it, and we'll see you on the flip side.
DynastyOwner.com is the ultimate dream for all sports and business fans. Dynasty Owner is the only patented fantasy sports game that combines Dynasty Fantasy Football with actual NFL player contracts and salaries. No make-believe or demand-based contract or salaries. There's no off-season at DynastyOwner.com. The rookie draft matters. Free agency matters. Every contract matters. We finished our beta season in 2019, and we are now completing the development of our new mobile app for iOS and Android, and it will be ready in time for this rookie draft season. We are opening up our patented fantasy sports game to everyone in 2020, but we're limiting it to just 1,012-team leagues. Win weekly prizes, seasonal prizes, and compete in the chase for the ring. Come join our 2020 season waiting list at www.dynastyowner.com and start your dynasty. And make sure to tell them that Rookie Fever sent you. Just click on Rookie Fever when you sign up. DynastyOwner.com. There's nothing out there like it.
And we're back.
So, we are back.
So the first segment we're going to do is, who are some guys from the 2020 class that you may see a much larger opportunity that not enough people are talking about. Reading right off Finero's notes. Late round rookie drafts.
Swags, you didn't sound like you were reading at all. Quite natural, actually. You didn't need to tell the public that you were reading.
The first guy on the list, though, full disclosure, is the one I'm most excited about. So I don't know if I want to start with him.
You and Jason are on the same page, man. He can't wait to talk about this guy.
Yeah. So if in that case, dude, I mean, if that's where you wanted to go first because you're excited, then I mean, totally, man. Like, I'm ready for it.
Dude, so first of all, I just want to say I just had my rookie draft. I jumped back into the third round, which is the very last round of our draft.
Wow, that late. So tell them who we're talking about.
Talking about Van Jefferson from the LA Rams.
Yeah, love it. So why do you love him so much?
Well, not only do I love his talent, but so Kupp and Reynolds, they're in the last year of their deals.
Kupp is Goff's boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think they stay together.
I agree.
Okay, I'm with you on the Woods side here, though. I like where you're going with it, but that's just...
Hold on, though. I got more little tea leaves here for you because the Rams are very notorious for extending guys early that they like so they can spread their money over more. They like Kupp that much. Why did they let him get to the last year of his deal?
I don't
know. Can you imagine that, dude? Like, why not
extend him last year? If you know you're going to keep him, why wouldn't you extend him last year when the price would be cheaper?
I mean, they had Cook there last year, Brandon Cook, so they had the money wrapped up there. They didn't really have money to extend him last year, did they?
I mean, if it's as long as it's in the future, it doesn't matter. And then they would end up getting rid of Cook anyway. Because Kupp and Reynolds are free agents. They're in the last year of their deal. They're free agents next year. And then Woods is, he'll be what, 30? I think he'll be 30 at the time.
That sounds right.
And he'll be a free agent in 2022.
I'm with you on Robert Woods. I totally like that. That's kind of the scenario that I would write as well. I just don't know if I can get in on the Cubs side. And I know that this still helps Van Jefferson either way. So it's kind of.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, either way, it still helps because, I mean, Cubs more of a slot guy, right? He's not going to play on the outside. I mean, Jefferson, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Jefferson has the size he could, but I don't know if his skill set plays for it. But, I mean, they still play a lot of three receiver sets.
We're also talking about a third-round rookie pick.
Right.
Yeah, so let's say that you're in a draft right now, and you have the 212, and it's your last pick, and you're not confident about trading back in. Would you be comfortable taking Van Jefferson with your 212?
Yeah, absolutely. I traded back in the third round to get him. I would definitely take him at 212. If I had another pick in the second round, I would have taken him.
Huh.
So now you got me like thinking about what ADP is in that area. Because, I mean, we're still in the middle of rookie fever. So I feel like there could be some guys there, especially like maybe some running backs.
Yeah, you're in that like Joshua Kelly area with the running backs maybe.
Yeah. And... So I'd have to look at ADP to commit to that. But I feel you. Like, I think
Brandon Ayuk around the 207-ish, 208 area.
Ayuk all day before I'm going Van Jefferson all day.
But so the one thing to keep in mind though when we're talking about these guys is also it lets you keep track of what the teams maybe don't do in the future. So if you don't see the Rams, for example, maybe extend a guy or maybe sign a guy next year or something like that, it tells you that they have faith in the guy who's supposed to step up next in Van Jefferson. So that's just something also to keep in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Go get Van Jefferson cheap, extremely cheap. And then you just keep him on your bench and then just see how the cards fall. And if they fall in a great way, then awesome. If not.
So is your assumption that at least one of Woods or Kupp gets the extension or maybe neither?
I think it's going to be either. It's an either or situation.
Gotcha. Yeah. I hope it's.
I agree with you. I think Kupp's going nowhere. And that means that Woods is probably moving on.
Yeah. Even just the age and, I mean, yep. Kupp and Goff getting drafted together and then being roommates and just the connection that they had from the get. I mean, I think that's you want that.
Yeah.
Another guy to pay attention to because of all of this, because of, you know, all this wide receiver validity, is it? Volatility? Whatever.
Volatility?
Yeah. What's the tight end's name? Gerald Everett.
Everett, I was going to say Everett or Higby.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more Everett just to see maybe they might put him out as a, you know, slot tight end and maybe use him more as the inside wide receiver. It's just something to think about. Yeah, I have no clue, but it's just the way I'm just looking at the contracts, the way everything is shaping out right now.
I think Everett's a little cheaper too.
Oh, Everett's way cheaper.
Dude, I think he's a free agent right now in my league. So
yeah, no, Everett's way cheaper than Higby.
Yeah. So that's why I think Van Jefferson's at least worth a dart.
Yeah. Or even like you said, right now he's so cheap, you could probably even just kind of, somebody that likes him is still a little bit unsure, and you could probably get him added into a trade fairly easy at this point.
Totally agree with that.
So, yeah, I like this mention a lot. The next guy on your list, I'm going to listen to the contract situations, but I just don't know if I'm all in on Eno Benjamin.
Well, it's hard to be just give it context before Jason jumps in there. It's hard to give any credence to a seventh round draft pick, right?
Yep.
So that's part of the knock against him. And then I think you and I tend to like another dude in that rotation a little bit. You want to tell me who that dude is?
I mean, I like Chase Edmonds.
No, I mean, it's just his whole thing is he only has one more year left on his deal, and he's only an $800,000 cap hit. So, I mean,
How do you feel about him now?
I mean, I don't think he's going to cost much money to keep around.
Okay. That would be the argument, right? Like, so the Chiefs.
He's going to get like a Gus Edwards type contract.
What's up?
He's going to get like a Gus Edwards type contract.
Yeah, you get like a little cheap contract to keep him along because the team is intimate with him. They know they like him. They like him either in a backup role or to even step up a little bit. So they throw him a couple bucks. They make him feel special and they hold on to him. But then with that, they could also, which we don't know, not like him. They've seen enough and just freaking cut him for nothing.
He does have a little bit of an injury history. I mean, I'm not saying he's injury prone or anything like that, but. And then Drake is only on the transition tag. I mean, so I don't know if who knows? Maybe they'll extend them. I don't know. I'm just saying if they don't, and Chase Edmonds only has 1 year left on his deal. And again, this is all prefaced by the fact that he's a seventh round pick. So don't get too excited.
Uh-huh. And a lot could happen by then too. Like you said, I mean, don't get too excited. I mean, even with the 2021 draft coming up and
draft free agency,
that's what Jason and I were talking pre-draft. We think out of the Chase Edmonds range of outcomes and Eno Benjamin range of outcomes, we thought the most likely, honestly, was for the Cardinals to draft somebody in 2021.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It feels like that's the most likely outcome.
Yep. So now I really kind of just want to even try to move my Chase Edmonds shares while there's still some believers out there. I don't
think there's any value there.
Oh, there's always value. It's just you can't overvalue. If you're ready to move on, you move on. You can find somebody.
Yeah.
Get a third. You know, you go to the Drake owner or something like that, and you just offer him something. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, if it's just a roster clogger and you can find where he might add IAPs somewhere else, then, yeah, it's always a deal out there.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
A little bit.
Yeah,
sometimes I read from the script. I have a private script that Finero gives me that none of our guests ever see.
Uh-oh. Don't you dare give me credit.
But yeah, I think that it's kind of weird because I wasn't even going into that way though either. But by that time we got done talking and we're just kind of all like, they're going to draft somebody. I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's probably time to kind of get rid of Chase Edmonds and the dream is over, even if he has some success this year.
Yeah, that literally feels like the way everything's going, to be honest with you. I think they have pieces this year that they'll be fine with, Drake in particular with being that piece. And then next year they're going to be like, you know what? This system gave Chase Edmonds 151 yards in one game. Like this system, this offensive weapon that we have behind center, these wide receivers that we have, we can move on from Drake. We don't need that big contract. We can sign a rookie in the second or even third round next year and be just fine. I see them moving on, and Drake owners being disappointed and Chase Edmonds owners being even more disappointed.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget he did play with a NFL head coach in college in Herm Edwards. So, I mean, I don't know how much credence you give that, but I'm pretty sure he brought some of an NFL style camp to college.
Sure.
And he was the workhorse there. So, I mean, Hey, it's just something to think about. That's all. Like I said,
Jason, any more late round guys you want to talk about?
I mean, do you want to talk about AGG? I mean, I don't know.
Up to you. I mean, I'm a little annoyed by that guy.
I mean, I'll be with him. I mean, just the whole thing just becomes McLaren, you know, F1. Just,
yeah, McLaren's
so young, he's so cheap, and he's there for the next 3 years. So, I mean, now, I mean, I guess the biggest question with him would just be, is Haskins going to be good enough to support two wide receivers or two options or anything like that?
Fair enough.
Yeah. How many air yards is that offense going to put up? But I mean, right. You have to think that he's going to throw 3,200 yards, and you're probably going to give 800 to 1,100 to McLaurin. I mean, you're still leaving 2,000 yards on the table, even if that's his floor. Yep. So, I mean, I think you could still give 700 to AGG at some point. And I know that's not like super flashy, but you're getting a wide receiver three or four at that point.
And for a rookie, that's a lot.
Yeah. And who do we have over there? We got Steven Sims. We got Kelvin Harmon.
Harmon could have a year. Sims was silently like impressive as hell. Yeah, he was
good, dude. He's a special teamer, kind of wide receiver three guy.
Got a little out of the backfield here and there.
Yeah. So I kind of see like a two jumping into this system and still making Sims very NFL relevant. Maybe not fantasy relevant, but very NFL relevant. So I think Sims sticks to this team. It's all about Kelvin Harmon for me.
Yeah.
Big name coming into last year in 2019. So for me, it would be more like Kelvin Harmon versus AGG right now. Like, can AGG like come in and command that kind of attention to say, no, you kind of missed on Kelvin Harmon. I'm what you wanted when you drafted Kelvin Harmon. AGG could be that guy. I have no preseason to really know. We're already talking about an abbreviated preseason. So I really don't know. But as far as a flyer, I mean, he's going late. We're talking about a contract situation with Jason here, and we got some flexibility. So if he shows out, like, in other words, like with the two preseason games we're going to get to see, maybe put him on your watch list, man. Like if this guy shows up a little bit, maybe his value ticks up.
Yeah.
I mean, because like I said, the only person I see is McLaren. He's the only one. You know what I mean? I mean, even then you still wonder, is he a 1 year wonder? I'm not saying he is or anything, but, you know.
Nah, he's a stud.
Yeah. But he's the only guy. They don't even have a tight end anymore.
They do not have a tight end.
They have Thaddeus Moss.
Stop.
Maybe. You never know. Maybe he's better.
In 4 years, we'll see if Thaddeus Moss is a thing.
Yeah, but the whole thing comes down to really is McLaurin, Harmon, and you got what we're talking about? AGG.
Yeah.
This is the same offense that made you like Ian Thomas year one.
Who? Him?
Everybody. The whole entire world.
I don't like Ian Thomas. What?
I love Ian Thomas.
I don't like Ian Thomas.
You should you love him. Like you do now, Jason.
Ian Thomas is the freaking man.
Right, yep. See. You just fell in love.
I love Ian Thomas.
I know. Nope.
I love Irv Smith Jr.
I traded him.
Studs. All of them. Just wait. They're all my tight end gardens.
So you guys, can you guys make me a promise that you promise me that I'm going to tell you this trade and you're going to tell me which side you like, and we're going to try our hardest to not talk about this trade and move on to this next segment.
Okay. Oh, so in other words, you want a short answer?
Yep.
Okay, give it to us.
Julio Jones or Jerry Jeudy, a 2021 third and a 2022 second.
Nope.
Which side do you like?
I don't think you're not getting enough for Julio Jones.
I agree.
So you like the Julio side?
Yes, please. Yes.
I'm just curious.
Julio. Okay.
I got Julio today.
Oh, good. So you're happy with our decision.
For that to get Julio?
Yeah.
You fucking thief. Oops, sorry. Am I supposed to have that?
Yeah, so Jason's happy. So bravo, my man.
And this is a trade that I almost expected a little bit of a counter or a little bit of back and forth. Yeah. Like it was more of one of those like testing the market type things. Like the value was there, like because of Jerry Jeudy's like rookie value and that fever. And I went to a team that's on the like younger side, I think trying to get a little bit more future going, and offered some picks and that. And added Julio to my beefed up lineup, man. I just added Amari Cooper the other day, added Julio today.
Are we supposed to make you feel better about your rate?
We've talked about it way too long, actually. So,
nice job, dude. I like it.
If you would have offered me Judy in a first, I would have taken him as a second.
I don't know if I would have done that, though.
Right.
Because exactly. Then I could have had, like, that's like giving you Jerry Judy and Jerry Judy.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's like, yeah. But, I mean, if you would have told me I'd give you two firsts for Julio, I think that's a fair deal. And Judy was basically a first.
It gets tough, man, without knowing where the picks are, because I can tell you, like, if we still had a rookie draft to do today, I want the top five. If it was a top five pick in Superflex, I'll take those picks over Julio.
No, dude, I think you massacred that trade. I can't believe you got it. Kudos to you.
I didn't feel like I massacred. Now I feel bad. Should I give him more?
No, why? No. I mean, you never feel bad if you said the trade.
I think massacres felt a little aggressive.
Sam, if you're listening,
there's such like.
But Jason dark. And I very quickly agreed with the Julio side, so
yeah.
Feel Sam, good about
if
it.
If you
and
feel like I zipped the fleece on you, hit me up, okay. And we'll have future endeavors. So next, we're going to talk about some of the bigger guys that still might have better situations come 2021. So a little bit more higher valued guys now that you might want to just hold on to or try to get and be patient with.
Yeah, the perfect example, right? Crowded wide receiver core, CeeDee Lamb, right? So CeeDee, I want to know what CeeDee Lamb looks like in 2021. Like we had JJ on last week, and JJ's all like, well, on redraft, I'm buying CeeDee Lamb. What if Gallup gets hurt? What if Cooper gets hurt? What if Gallup? No. I think Gallup's a buy right now. Anyway, moving on. CeeDee Lamb is the guy.
Not
we're
back
talking
to
about.
Dallas.
CeeDee Lamb's the guy we're talking about right now. He's the last on this four names we have sitting here. But I really, again, going over to the Dallas fan, want to know 2021, what do I get out of my, what, top five, top six pick in CeeDee Lamb?
Nothing really.
Oh, no. I get no help in 2021?
None whatsoever.
See, nobody's talking about that shit, Swags.
Gallup, he will be an unrestricted free agent in 2022.
Damn, so he's not going anywhere.
The earliest Cooper can be cut is 2022.
Wow, so CeeDee Lamb's looking at like a three-year curve.
No.
Unless he just beats someone out.
CeeDee Lamb will absolutely beat Gallup out, in my opinion. That's where I'm at. I think that Gallup had a great opportunity this last year. He also had that same scenario where they were playing from behind that helped out. He was never really the same if Cooper wasn't on the field. I think that like the addition of CeeDee Lamb and him with Gallup, I think that they'll demand just enough coverage to where Cooper is going to ball out. And then I think you're going to see CeeDee Lamb. Maybe that's just like my serious like rookie fever and wishful thinking, but I'm so happy about the Gallup shares I moved on from.
No, now's the best time. I mean, next year, I'll be honest, I don't see why Gallup can't even build more on this year coming up than he did last year, just because of the fact of now you do have CeeDee Lamb there and you do have, you know, you still have Cooper. So I don't see why Gallup can't be, because he still had 1,000 yards this year. I mean, it's still phenomenal. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't see why he can't do that. It's just from what I hear is they're possibly going to move Cooper into the slot and then put Lamb on the outside, Gallup on the outside, and Cooper in the slot.
That might be weird.
So
I think about that for Cooper.
That'd probably be better for Cooper, right? Facing a smaller guy.
Yeah. Huh. That would be interesting.
That's why I wanted to talk about this so much. I think this is one of the most
I have to find somebody to come on the show and hate on Gallup with me because I haven't found anybody.
Well, I don't love him, but I don't hate him.
I feel like there's plenty of people that hate on Gallup. And that was the initial thing as soon as CeeDee Lamb was drafted.
So I'll be honest right here. So first, I think for the first time, and it proved this year in the draft, that the Cowboys drafted based on their board rather than need. I think this year just proved it. So no one who thought Lamb was going to fall. What did he fall? 17? Who thought he was going to fall 17? Nobody had CeeDee Lamb fall to 17. Not even, you know, the draft stimulators that you do online.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, no one had Lamb going to 17, man.
But I mean, you agree if autographs are being passed out, like Gallup's getting Lamb's, and Lamb's probably not really.
Oh, yeah.
He was kind of like, oh, now I have to ask for yours too.
Look, when it comes, Lamb, everyone knows Lamb's a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a guy you can put on the outside. He's a dog. You know, but I mean, Gallup, he's a good number two, and he, you know, he played the role really well.
Yeah. I agree. I do.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I mean,
freaking Dallas, Panero. You went Panero. I blame you for bringing us back to Dallas.
Everyone wants to know about CeeDee Lamb.
That's probably my fault. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So I mean, as far as contract wise, the earliest until he's like by himself is 2020.
I think if you're gonna dive into like higher round rookie picks with impact in 2021, the first name that came to my mind was CeeDee Lamb.
He can have a lot of impact.
No, I do agree with that. Yeah, it's not that I don't agree with that. I'm not as into Gallup as even for. I think that Lamb outplays him pretty quickly.
Oh, probably. I don't disagree with you on that.
Yeah, I'm more worried about. I mean, everyone's worried about Gallup, and Gallup's a young wide receiver, so he's gonna move on from this team with the acquisition of CeeDee Lamb, or Cooper's gonna move on. Either way, those dynasty shares of Gallup, I feel pretty good about them, to be quite honest. I feel like people are throwing them away.
So ceiling and floor on yards for CeeDee Lamb for 2020 from both of you. Who wants to go first?
I can go.
What do you? Well, yep.
Floor, 800 yards, 700 yards, 700.
Wow.
Yards.
Dude, I think that's a damn nice floor.
Well, the reason
that's
why
it's fucking nice,
but here's my logic for it. What's his name? Cobb, which we all agree he's better than Cobb.
Yeah, and
right?
I hear that.
Cobb had like 860 yards last year.
Wow.
So you telling me CeeDee Lamb can't have 100 yards less than Cobb?
No, I think you like CeeDee Lamb about as much as me.
But what I'm going to say is you don't have to hate Gallup any less. So Cobb got that floor you want for CeeDee Lamb. And still threw up 1,000 yards, Gallup.
And then his ceiling, Lamb, 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
That is a ceiling and a half right there.
I think that Gallup is going to be the one to lose targets, not Cooper.
Everyone thinks that.
I do think he could lose targets, but I think he could become the most efficient one of the bunch.
Gallup, just because of coverage?
Just because of coverages.
Yeah. I don't hate that. So Blake Jarwin, my friends.
He's an open-minded dude. He's like, I'm not. I hear you. I do. I don't like Gallup at all. But I all also
here. Let's talk. Let's
opinion.
Talk. Let's talk about some guys near and dear to. I mean,
oh, we're moving on from CeeDee Lamb, Swags. We're moving on.
Yeah, let's move on. I don't want to talk Cowboys.
Actually, freaking no. Where do you want to go, Jason?
Well, I don't know who you got next on the list.
Screw that.
Well, okay. That was the last player on the list.
In front of us. Swags, where do you want to go next?
Oh man, I don't. I mean. Tell me, be honest, like be freaking honest. Did those backflips and everything make you like Chase Claypool more? Because it did me. I don't even care. I know that's so cheesy and so wrong, but man, to see that athleticism and that just like that kind of fun during practice.
I love that you went there because I was all about not knowing or understanding the contract with Juju, because I knew being a Juju owner that Juju is a free agent next year. That's all I knew. I also know that Pittsburgh doesn't seem like totally crazy over Washington. I feel like Washington's almost looked over at this point. They like Deontay. They like Juju. If they can work out a deal with Juju, that's fine. But if Juju blows up, that could be a problem. Enter Chase Claypool, Jason.
Right. And you said all the guys I was going to bring up. Juju's is a free agent after this year. Washington the year after, which only leaves Deontay Johnson and Claypool.
Yeah.
So now my whole question with the whole situation is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Who's going to be their quarterback?
Yeah. We got a problem.
Dak Prescott.
Hey, you never know, right?
Andy Dalton.
You're spiking up all kind of controversy. Dak Prescott to Pittsburgh.
That'd be his kind of town.
I don't hate that at all.
Neither do I.
But man, I like the Chase Claypool mention here, and he's a little bit cheaper than the other guys on this particular group here.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm all about trying to buy him, even kind of similar to that Van Jefferson. I know he's going to cost a little bit more, but, yeah, I like this one here. Very interested.
Chase is a big dude, though. He's like a tight end body. There was a strong consideration for him to move over to tight end. So that worries me a little bit as far as, you know, his role on this offense, because they, in my opinion, don't have a
Who had the consideration, like us, the analysts, when we were talking, or him, like when he was coming out, or Pittsburgh?
No, I think it's us, the analysts, us little guys out here looking at this 21-year-old from Canada. I think that was us. That was us doing that. I agree, Swags. That was probably you and you, not you. That was probably me and other analysts.
The community, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So Jason flew in tonight to Philly?
No, actually, I'm back up in the Northeast right now.
Oh, well, you're in Philly now.
Yeah,
he's deep inside Philly right now. Filthy.
I've got my closet Philly fan feverish Finero. That's a mouthful. Holy shit. So let's talk about some... You hate that? I'm sorry, my man. Jalen Reagor.
Oh, but I love myself some Jalen Reagor, though. Which makes me sound more like a fucking closet Eagles fan.
It always comes out. I don't know.
I love Reagor, dude. I love Reagor.
Well, no, you pay attention, because you're going to start to see these things and you're going to be like, oh my God, Swags is right. Like, you are a closet Philly fan.
Nope. I hate him.
You get back with me on that, Waltner.
All right, I will.
Give me a month or two and you'll be like, holy shit. Like, it did happen.
I'll pay attention a little bit more now. Maybe there's been some cues that I haven't been.
Yeah, who knows?
I haven't been mindful of.
Be very, very skies.
Now that I'm paying attention, I'll be like, oh,
yeah. So Jalen Reagor.
So Reagor, Jeffrey, the out is in 2021. I mean, they'll still have $10 million of dead money, which still is a lot. They still do a June 1st cut, but
that sounds crazy.
Then, yeah, for and him. D-Jax, I mean, he's a $5.5 million dead money hit. Wow. So I mean, they would take some dead money cutting those two guys next in 2021. Mm-hmm. So
to cut those two guys in 2021, they're getting rid of $15 million of dead cap money.
16.
That's million. A lot of money in a wide receiver position.
A nothing.
I don't. Hate this. Give me some positive.
Maybe they could use a June 1st designation for Jeffrey, and that would split his cap in 2 years.
It's very unlikely both those players finish the season or play too many games together. But these
guys are a significant cap hit.
Unless they just eat it. And so, I mean, Rager's probably not, he's probably like 2 or 3 years away, contract wise, from being like the wide receiver one in Philly.
That sucks. I don't like hearing that.
The thing you have to like about these kind of situations is it does allow these guys to like more grow organically into their position rather than kind of being forced to be the guy maybe before they're ready to be the guy. So at least he'll get like a good 2 years underneath his belt. So you can just kind of like, you know, launch them on scene.
That's tough for people to draft Reagor at like 107.
First of all, if you're this smart, if you listen to Rookie Fever, you know that 2014 doesn't happen very often.
No.
It never happens. Right?
Last year, there were three wide receivers that had 800 yards or more. They were rookies.
Yeah. And it's a passing era, and it still never happens. You know what I'm saying? So
800 yards or more. They were wide receiver like 20 to 29.
Yeah. I was going to say wide receiver twos.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't wide receiver ones. Like, but
it was that AJ Brown, McLaurin, and
Metcalf.
Yep.
And then you had Preston Williams on pace before he went down with the injury.
Preston Williams would have done it. He was on pace for 800.
I mean, then you go before that. What year was the year OBJ and them came out?
2014.
Was that 2014? Yeah. Because you're OBJ and all that, like, it doesn't happen. And like
no, it doesn't. Last year, though, like, last year was considered a bad class across the board. Bad class. Wide receivers, running backs, the whole deal. And we had wide receivers showing out. AJ Brown's price right now is through the freaking roof. So what we're looking for right now is that next guy and who that is. And it's tough because we got these guys we love who we're drafting early, like a Rager and a CeeDee Lamb. We love these guys, right? We love Jerry Jeudy. We love these guys. But then they have these like weird situations, like Jerry Jeudy's not getting the pass volume. We're going over to CeeDee Lamb and we're talking about his circumstances and all these wide receivers over there. How is he going to do it?
I'm kind of starting to like that CeeDee Lamb situation a little bit more than Jerry Jeudy, though.
Yeah, you and me both, dude. When JJ was on our podcast last week and he was talking about CeeDee Lamb in a redraft, he got me excited. I'm not going to lie. He got me excited about CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee Lamb could be one of those outliers. We talk about outliers all the time. How come CeeDee Lamb can't be that outlier? Why can't he be that outlier? Why can't we be talking about Dallas throwing for 5,500 yards? Why can't we be talking about that? That can happen.
Because we're done with Dallas. That's the only reason. But oh, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Talking about Dallas right there.
One guy on the list, and we've gotten through this entire list, and then we can see if we get to these bonus guys at the end here.
I got some guys for you.
One more guy?
Michael Pittman.
You got Pittman.
Well, he's the last guy on our list, yeah.
Give it to me. What's going on with Michael Pittman?
Michael Pittman's in a good situation, actually. So T.Y.'s in the last year of his deal, and I don't think anyone thinks they're going to re-sign him, do you? I don't. Do you, Swag?
Not that age, not that size.
No, I'm off Hilton completely, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all agree he's gone.
Yep.
All that leaves is Paris Campbell and Desmond Patman. Those are the only guys that are in Michael Pittman's way from being the wide receiver one in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But who's the quarterback?
Jacob
Eason.
Jacob Eason, I don't know. Will he be ready? I mean, Frank Reich has done some pretty amazing things with people. He's still over there.
I think he will be throwing. I think he'll lead that team by the end of the season, yeah. I think they need to see what they have in him at some point.
I don't disagree that he'll be the guy, but is he good enough?
And the thing is, they won't have to lean on him that much. They have that great offensive line. It's a very good offensive line now. And
Now
JT in the back, so you really don't have to.
Good points.
2,200 really yards came out of that backfield last year.
Damn.
So, yeah, they'll be doing that a lot, you know. So, I mean, I might have liked Brissett more than I do Rivers, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I absolutely can't wait to see Jacob Eason.
Yep. So, yeah, so Pittman. Next year could be the wide receiver one. He could be the guy this year with T.Y.'s injury history.
Yeah.
He's going to miss games, right? I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Regardless, like, they're not going to re-sign him.
No, probably not.
No, he's going to move on. Was he 31?
Yeah, he's going to be playing it for the Bucks with Brady.
So I can talk. So there's a few guys I just want to hit on real quick. One guy, I mean, everyone probably pretty much knows about is T. Higgins. Only Tyler Boyd is under contract beyond this season.
Yeah, I like that mention.
Another guy actually here, and this is now also looking at contracts ahead that could possibly be cuts and everything, is Denzel Mims, who is a fantasy darling right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Inunua and him are the only wide receivers that are under contract beyond 2022 at least. But the last year of Inunua's deal, I don't know why they did this. Maybe they did it for the reason to cut him, is because his contract, his cap hit goes from $9 million to $11 million, which usually doesn't happen that way at the end of a contract. It usually goes the other way around.
That is weird.
Right. But he'll be under $2 million in dead money. So they'll save about $10 million in cutting him the last year of his contract.
Yeah, I like Mims a lot.
Anunua hasn't done anything relevant in, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 years away from being the wide receiver one, the, like, you know, bona fide wide receiver one.
And being able to have plenty of opportunity this year to flash.
Mm-hmm. And then one more guy real quick for you. I don't know if we can talk about some running backs. I got some running backs too. Quintez Cephas, you know that guy?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So basically, he's the only wide receiver under contract beyond 2020.
Wow.
The only one.
What? You're talking about Galladay included?
Galladay, Jones.
The only wide receiver beyond this year under contract. That's
crazy. You have to think they try to get Galladay.
I mean, they got some guys with like restricted free agent rights and exclusive.
Well, Galladay's going nowhere, but whatever. That's still remarkable.
I don't know. Will they sign Galladay?
You have to think so.
Okay, I'm just.
He's a stud.
But
I think they like him a lot, yeah. But, I mean, who knows? You know, maybe they're waiting to see what happens with Stafford in the future before they start tying into long-term contracts and that's see scary, how far right? they can get. Yeah.
That's not scary?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, you know? Like, see what happens. I mean, you get used to that kind of stuff being in Detroit. You know what it's like being a Philly fan.
Stop!
But, okay, so... Oh, wait, no, we still have some. We have three more names we have to go through, right? You put them up there yet? Or no? You want me to do rapid fire here? I got some running backs for you.
All I want to hear running back wise is about AJ Dillon.
Okay. So both Jones and Williams are in the last years of their contract.
Yeah.
Swags, you all in on AJ Dillon based on that information or no?
I mean, I'm mostly in on AJ Dillon. I kind of have been ever. I mean, even since the first kind of rant I had when right after the draft, like. I might have went with a little bit too much passion and kind of saying that Dylan's going to take it over this year, but part of me thinks it's going to be really hard to keep Dylan off the field. Honestly, the dude's a beast, and I think Aaron Jones has just been given an amazing opportunity. I don't think that he's as talented as Dylan or that athletic specimen, but you got to show it on the field, and AJ Dillon hasn't, and Aaron Jones has, but... yeah, I'm excited about Aaron Jones and mostly the future too.
I remember like, that conversation. I remember that conversation that you and I had. It was in draft where AJ Dillon was picked up, and I gave you a little bit of shit for putting AJ Dillon into that role over Aaron Jones, who had the season that he had. But we look at the contract situation. And beyond the contract situation, we look at his injury history. If we look at his history with the team, the reluctance to put him in that RB1 role, there's a huge opportunity for anyone else, let alone a second round draft pick like AJ Dillon with his size and his speed adjusted speed score. Like, give me a break. Like, this is a guy that you need to look at. This is a guy that when the draft happened and you brought him up to me, I said, whoa, calm the hell down, Swags. We have Aaron Jones. Relax. But this is why we brought Jason on, right? We brought Jason on because contracts matter. This stuff matters. Aaron Jones has never been given the reins to the kingdom. He's never been their guy. And now we're given a situation where they gave high draft capital.
Yeah, to a guy. They like skipped out on getting wide receivers to make Aaron Rodgers happy.
I mean, that's the running joke of the NFL or fantasy or Twitter is that.
But that's how much they liked this guy too.
Yo, I'm telling you right now, I don't think their wide receiver is gonna be that bad next year. I don't think St. Brown is as bad as some people think he is. I think he just the Packers know more than anyone that it takes wide receivers for 3 years to start playing. They understand. It seems like they understand patience more. Obviously, they picked up Love. So they understand patience a little more than some organizations do. So,
dude, I know that this sounds trashy, but I don't think people even give Devin Funchess enough respect.
I'm never going to give Devin
Funchess. Yeah, it's just because he's been other places. That's all. He never, I mean.
He was a wide receiver, too, with Cam Newton.
Yeah, he was. That's true.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's never caught balls from anybody like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so, I mean,
AJ you guys are like, anyway.
I love that Swags is like, I'm not getting the love on this. So.
I don't need the love, but it hasn't been as bad as we want. It's one of those things where it sounds way worse than it even was, let alone, like, to look at the opportunity that he's in and the cost it would take you to add Devin Funchess to your team is zero.
Yeah.
And you never know. You might be very surprised at what Aaron Rodgers spreads that ball. He made Jordy Nelson a thing.
Yeah, he sure did. Very big thing. So another guy that we have, actually, you know him well, Swags. Is your boy Mr. DeAndre Swift?
Oh, you got somebody with a chubby right now.
Yeah. Well, I love DeAndre Swift because he's a Georgia guy.
Yeah, I like Swift a lot.
I love
But seriously, Swags, are your ears perked right now?
I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Like, I think I'm the biggest like Swift advocate out there. So I mean, it's gonna Swift's my guy. Like, I'll pay up. Like, I'm trying to correct the market value of Swift every day. So
it is hurt. Is Swags doesn't need your positive reinforcement. Swag, but
yeah, it's not like that. Like, I'm not trying to say, I've seen this magic trick before and I know how it's done, so I don't want to see it. I'm not saying that, but yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna let anybody else take ownership for my Swift love, I guess is what I'm saying.
I hear that.
As you probably know, KJ is going to be a free agent in 2021, but the last year of his contract, he would only be $720,000 in dead money, and they would save over $1.5 million towards the salary cap.
Yeah. If they got rid of Kerryon though, like, who would be handing towels to Swift?
The next rookie that you guys draft?
Yeah, that's true. Like, both Scarbo could probably like hand out towels too.
There you go. You know.
Yeah, I do not like Kerryon, like, for our team moving forward. Like, I just don't.
Dude, Swift is a stud.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, he could take the job from Kerryon this year, and Kerryon could just ride the bench, and then they cut him next year.
Oh, he took the job. Don't even look at that depth chart. Don't right though. I mean, that's Swift's job. Like, you don't see Kerryon Johnson working with Swift or with Matt Stafford right now. You see Swift working with Matt Stafford.
Well, just to all things be told, they are both Georgia guys. So
Swags,
yes, sir.
We know how you feel about this backfield situation. We know that Swift has stolen it away, right? Kerryon Johnson at 22 years old is going to become a free agent. So I want you to give me, and this is going to be uncomfortable for you, okay? I want you to give me high upside buying power on Kerryon Johnson at 22, 23, going to another team in a very good situation. Tell me about that.
I mean, I hear a lot of this like talk going around with a few players, like, this player is only 22, like, Ronald Jones is only 22, Kerryon Johnson's only 22. I forget the other one I heard, like, some other court running back that hadn't really done too much. Geis is young too, but I mean, it potential is just something that for people that haven't done anything yet. And so he's just another young player that has potential. And at a certain point, like, you can go get somebody else that hasn't had a chance yet and at least get some fresh potential. And you can throw Danny Woodhead all around the league on any team and get as excited as you want. It doesn't mean it's going to do anything for you. Kerryon Johnson is nothing more than somebody that's going to be traded around from team to team to team for years and barely ever hit your starting lineup.
Or does it sound like 1-2 year contracts?
Yeah, but even within your dynasty leagues, like, in those leagues, like, he's going to get traded. Somebody's going to get excited. They're going to think that, man, I don't know. Like, it just sometimes doesn't happen. Like, one time Kenneth Dixon was 22.
Okay, I hear you, and I respect that opinion. Like, you know I do a ton. And I would argue with that Mark Ingram had a very troubled early 2 or 3 years where he could not get healthy.
Was it all through high school and college too, though?
No, and it probably wasn't. Swags, it probably wasn't. I hear you, and I've heard that before. I guess what I'm trying to say is let's imagine another planet where, right?
Like, dude, we've all been imagining another planet all 2020.
Yeah, let's go over to another world. Where Kerryon Johnson is 100% healthy, which is probably a 5 to 20%.
I'm trying to get there. Yeah.
Right? 5 to 20%. I'm just going to ask you to go there for just a second.
Okay.
And say Kerryon all of a sudden turns on a light where he's not injury prone. He's not hurt all the time.
Okay. So, yes, we've created this world. And it goes
to a great situation. So I'm giving you, like, This is like Saturn. I know you're on Saturn right now.
I think you are. I think you're on Saturn.
I'm on Saturn.
Yeah.
But I want you to come over to Saturn with me, and I want to give you. I want you to project a interstellar outcome. Ariana Johnson.
So he goes somewhere and averages 3.5, 3.7 yards per carry, a little bit out of the backfield. He gets outplayed by somebody that just signed on your team last week and didn't even get a chance to look at the playbook. And I'm talking about Bo Scarborough, and I shouldn't have to tell you that. And it happened that quick. You're outplayed by somebody that didn't get to ever practice on your damn team in your second year. Like, get in the fucking weight room, Kerryon Johnson. Like, show me you want to work for this shit. You're out there on vacation talking shit about how people don't believe in you. Make me fucking believe. You've done nothing for me. We get a rookie who wants to come in, start working more than I've ever seen you work. Kerryon Johnson he's wasting it away.
I can't wait to see DeAndre. I love that rant, brother.
That was a great rant.
Sorry.
I am excited for DeAndre Swift, though.
Yeah, me too.
You know what that feels like? That feels like a great transition over to a little rapid fire. What do you think?
Jesus, yeah, I need a drink, so that'd be cool.
All right,
let's do it.
All right. All right, Jason. You know what rapid fire Family Feud is all about?
I do not.
All right.
Wait, but you know what? I was watching Family Feud last night, and they have Celebrity Family Feud.
Yeah.
I think we need to find a way to tweak it a little bit, like with the fantasy feud, but it can't quite just be fantasy. So that's all I had to say. Sorry I interrupted, but.
Oh, dude, I'm totally willing to evolve this shit. It's been very popular ever since we switched over to Family Feud. So we can evolve it into Fantasy Family Feud.
Something, yeah.
That's FFF.
Celebrity Feud.
I like it. All right, Jason, you got 5 category choices. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here's number 1.
Is he looking at your notes? Is he fucking looking at your notes?
Better not look, because we talked about this.
I'm not.
They're very close to him. All right, number 1 is advantages from working from home. Top 5 answers
on the board.
From work.
Second one, which no one picks, but everyone talks about, creature laying eggs. Number 3, which is one of my favorites. Activities that are both scary and exciting. And then after that, some kind of like applicable things, given everything we're going through today. Reasons you might not respond to a text. And lastly, what annoying things drivers do.
Wow, these are some crazy topics.
So you got 5 topics. You have very little time to decide.
What were 2 and 3 again?
2 was creature laying eggs.
Okay.
3 was activities that are both scary and fun.
You know what? Let's go with activities that are scary and fun.
Nice! My favorite one. All right, here we go.
Top 5 answers?
Yep, top five answers on the board. Swags, you're going to start the timer after I ask the initial question. Are you good?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Oh, by the way, you have 5 answers on the board, 3 strikes, and we're done.
Okay.
So if you keep rattling off answers.
Three strikes, okay.
Yeah, so 3 strikes and you're out.
Did you just add that?
I did, but that was an original rule. It's a Family Feud rule, by the way.
I am so glad you added it, because otherwise I was paying even less attention to the show than I thought.
So if he rattles off 3 really shitty answers,
I lose.
We're gonna shut him off right away.
I almost feel like this adds more pressure to me now.
It does.
I hope I'm rooting for you, Jason. Like
I'm actually rooting for you.
All right, here we go. You ready, everybody?
What was the topic again?
3 strikes. 3 strikes.
It's like scary things or something.
Yeah, so
scary and fun. Okay.
Yeah, so
All right, come on, man, let's go. I'm in the mood.
Activities that are both scary and fun.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Ready? 3 strikes. And Jason, activities that are both scary and fun at the same time.
Bungee jumping.
Yes.
Skydiving.
Yes.
Ziplining.
No.
Oh, dang, that's 1X. How about hang gliding?
No, that's two. That's two X's, Swags.
Whoa.
Two
X's. I know.
What about what is it called? With the water and the water skiing.
No. Swags. Wait, no, relax. You don't need to answer.
He got skydiving and
bungee jumping. So,
man.
So top five answers on the board. He got answer 3 and 4. So that number 1 and number 2 answers are on the board, Swag. Number 1 and number 2. I'm gonna give you 15 seconds to think about it.
Mountain climbing. Whoa.
I win, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what were they?
Number one answer on the board, roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Number two answer on the board. I would agree that the number two answer is a little weird, but driving fast? That feels weird. Number five answer on the board, horror movies. I kind of like horror movies better than driving fast, to be quite honest.
Well, I don't think roller coasters are scary.
They can be.
Freaking scary as shit, dude.
I think they pump some adrenaline, though. Maybe not scary, but they really pump some scary adrenaline.
Like, I don't like heights. I hate heights. So, like, I'll get on a roller coaster because I want the speed of a roller coaster, but I hate the heights. I'm so scared. I'll go up. I'm like, oh, my God, I hate this. I want to get off the effing ride. And then once it launches off, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
I'm watching Waltner, like, watch you explain it. And
yeah, look at him. He's like, he's what are you talking about? Like,
guy. Jason, thanks a ton for coming on. You did pretty good at rapid fire. I'd say you won. I haven't won this game yet.
Did.
No, I think he won because I didn't get any.
You're right. Yeah, you stop.
So I get the points.
Panero's got like toddler rules. He changes them all a little bit every week as he wants to.
Toddler rules. I'm gradually improving them. That's not toddler rules.
No, I said no tag backs.
Tell
them all the great places to find you.
So, hey, you can find me on Instagram at DFFJWaltner, on Twitter at DFFJWaltner, and pretty much about it.
And hopefully some capologies coming out soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank
you. I see the editor.
It's due.
They want that to hit me up.
Mr. Finero is at Artbark TV. I should say the feverish Finero is at Artbark TV. I am at Swagzilla OG. That's going to take some getting used to say.
I love it, dude. Swagzilla OG.
This is at Rookie Beaver. At. You gotta say at like that. At.
At. Five star this bitch.
Sweating with Swift.
Ooh, I like it.